A local heliskiing guide dies and two are injured in a weekend ski accident near Haines. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. That story and more up next. One person is dead and two are injured after a backcountry skiing accident near Haines on Sunday. Haines police received a call for medical assistance at the Haines Airport on Sunday afternoon. Police Chief Gary Lowe said in a press release, police were notified that a helicopter was bringing a person injured in a heliskiing accident to the airport. Emergency personnel transported 34-year-old Christian Cabanella to the Haines Clinic, where he was pronounced dead. Two injured skiers were also brought to the clinic. Haines police notified Alaska State Troopers, who is the lead investigating agency on the incident. A trooper arrived in Haines from Juneau on Monday, according to trooper spokesperson Megan Peters.
He's been trying to do interviews. He was able to fly over the area to see it. He has a couple more interviews lined up before he leaves town and has to get back to Juneau.
Cabanella is a guide with the heliskiing company Southeast Alaska Backcountry Adventures. But company owner Scott Sundberg said on Monday Cabanella was skiing recreationally with the group on Sunday and not in an official guide capacity. Sundberg also said the two injured skiers were in stable condition on Monday. Both were medevac to Bartlett Regional Hospital in Juneau, and one of the skiers was later sent to the Harborview Medical Center in Seattle, according to SEBA. The group of five was skiing as part of a commercial tour in the Upper Kicking Horse drainage area just west of Haines when the incident occurred, Sundberg said. The incident may have been caused by a massive cornice failure, but Sundberg said the death and injury were not caused by an avalanche. Troopers' preliminary findings are similar, Peters said.
And from what it sounds like, they were traversing an area and then the snow collapsed from under them. But I don't know how far the fall was.
Unconfirmed reports describe a fourth member of the ski group as surviving the incident when he deployed an inflatable airbag he was wearing, and a fifth member of the group was not involved in the fall. Cabanella's biography on SEBA's website says he is an international backcountry snowboard guide working in Alaska, Chilean Patagonia, and Antarctica, with more than a decade of experience in the Alaska heliski industry. It says he is also a commercial helicopter pilot in Alaska. He is originally from Visalia, California, according to friends. This is Haines' third heliskiing fatality in 2 years. Last year, a guide and skier were killed in a March avalanche while skiing with a different company. The fatal incident was not the only noteworthy event in the mountains near Haines on Sunday. An avalanche was triggered after a different cornice collapsed at Chilcat Pass, just south of Three Guardsmen near the Canadian border. That event was documented by a group of skiers that included local avalanche forecaster Eric Stevens. He said the group remotely triggered the avalanche while skiing in the area. He says cornices have grown large recently and sunshine in recent days has weakened them.
Definitely am trying to emphasize that cornices are more unstable now than they have been so far this season, so as evidenced by what we saw yesterday. People should definitely be staying away from cornices right now, especially with the strong sunshine.
He said the two cornice collapses on the same day prompted him to post a warning on his website, the Haines Avalanche Information Center, on Monday morning. The Haynesboro Assembly meets Tuesday for the first time in more than a month. The Assembly did not meet in February due to a lack of quorum, so the agenda for this Tuesday's meeting is a lengthy one. Several items are included in the consent agenda, meaning they will not be taken up for discussion but approved in bulk at the beginning of the meeting. Those items include the introduction of an ordinance that would amend borough code to require proof of vehicle insurance and allow for a $500 fine if motorists don't have proof of insurance. It also includes a first reading of an ordinance to clarify the local financial disclosure reporting process, and a first reading of an ordinance to renew the lease of the Human Resources Building to the Chilcat Valley Preschool. Items that the Assembly will discuss during the meeting include a change order approval for about $12,000 for the Haines High School gym floor replacement project. Part of that project involving new door frames is already completed, but was discovered to be ineligible for grant funding as part of the project. Also up for discussion is an item about community nonprofit funding. Mayor Stephanie Scott has suggested the Assembly clarify its intentions for funding nonprofits in 2014 and the process it wants to use. At the end of the meeting, an item about the police department will be taken up at the request of Mayor Scott. She said she is asking Borough Manager Mark Ernest to report on the complaints that have arisen within the police department. For a complete agenda and meeting packet, visit the borough website at HaynesAlaska.gov. The assembly meets at 6:30 Tuesday evening in assembly chambers. The Skagway Manager Search Committee has narrowed its choice for a new candidate for that position. The committee met last week and decided to invite former Wrangell manager Jord Edes to Skagway for an in-person interview. Edes currently lives in California. The interview is scheduled for next week on March 13th with a public meet and greet to follow at 5 p.m.
The sequestration that took effect March 1st has led to mandatory, across-the-board cuts in federal spending. To many travelers this summer, those cuts will be felt during trips to one of the 398 sites managed by the National Park Service. The Park Service is cutting 5% from their fiscal year 2013 budget, which runs from October of 2012 through September of 2013. That 5% will come in the form of shorter visitor center hours, furloughed employees, lack of emergency first responders in emergency situations, and even closed trails and campgrounds. Superintendents were advised by National Park Service Director Jonathan Jarvis to begin preparing for the cuts at the start of the fiscal year. Here in Skagway, Superintendent of Klondike Gold Rush National Historical Park, Mike Trinnell, was faced with a total reduction of $149,000. The park, at least for now, appears to be on track to take that budget reduction in stride. One of the first ways to cut costs in the Park Service was to begin a hiring freeze of all permanent and seasonal positions. Currently, the Cultural Resource Program Manager and Natural Resource Program Manager positions at the park are vacant, and because of the freeze, cannot be filled. These two vacancies save the park enough money to stay within the fiscal year budget and, according to Trinnell, should not immediately affect business as usual on our busy summer streets.
The impact of that is kind of hard to notice for cruise ship visitors, for example, because we'll, assuming this gets worked out, we have the hiring freezes for everybody now, but including our seasonal employees. But assuming that we are allowed to hire seasonals, then we'll have our seasonal ranger staff on board, and those are primarily the ones people see on the streets during the summer.
Permitting the seasonal hiring freeze is lifted when Congress meets March 27th to approve the 2014 budget. Most park activities should be operational. However, in all likelihood, many cultural and natural resource projects, such as the moving of the Goldberg Cigar Store from its current location on Fifth Avenue to Broadway, will be delayed. Trinnell points out that while the absence of such behind-the-scenes staff may not be readily noticeable to visitors, its cumulative effect on our natural and cultural resources can be devastating and will inevitably impact the overall visitor experience. However, it appears that at least for now, current full-time employees at the park are not to be furloughed and the mission will go on. Trinnell assures that his staff is more than capable of overcoming the budget cuts.
The other thing I would say is that I think with the quality of people we have working here, just the high caliber of employees, gives us the ability to weather the storm beyond what we could otherwise do. And so it's just everybody, picking up, doing their part, doing more than what we ask of them, and being very reliable in that really gives this park the ability to deal with this without as much immediate pain or impact than would otherwise be the case. So.
For KHNS, this is Jim Devereaux in Skagway.
The Bureau of Land Management is holding public meetings this week in Skagway and Haines about the Ring of Fire Management Plan. The meetings are part of the 90-day public comment period for an amendment to the plan that would affect public lands near Haines and Skagway. The entire Ring of Fire area includes 1.3 million acres of public lands in southeast and south-central Alaska, but the agency is currently preparing an amendment to the Haines Planning Area and draft environmental impact statement. BLM in December released a draft resource management plan and draft environmental impact statement that looks at amended management changes to more than 300,000 acres of mountain terrain near the U.S.-Canadian border between Haines and Skagway. Another parcel of land in the plan being looked at is located southwest of Haines along the boundary with Glacier Bay National Park. An amendment to the plan is trying to determine whether to designate lands within the areas as critical environmental concerns or special recreation management areas. BLM had planned to hold the public meetings at the end of January in Haines and Skagway, but had to reschedule due to weather. The Skagway public meeting is Tuesday from 6 to 8 p.m. in Skagway Assembly Chambers. On Wednesday, BLM officials will be in Haines for the public meeting from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Sheldon Museum. For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friedenauer. Special thanks to Jim Devereaux and Skagway for help with this report. And don't forget, on our KHNS News webpage, you can find more than just local news. We have links to news sources from around the region, state, greater U.S., and Canada. Thanks for listening to local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.